Now, French police have fired tear gas at refugees during clashes in the so-called jungle camp in the northern port city of Calais, ahead of the camp's demolition on Monday. French officials say that they'll begin dismantling the camp using heavy machinery on Monday. The French government says that it's secured places to relocate the camp's residents throughout the country. Now, the camp, known as the jungle, is now accommodating some 10,000 refugees. Asylum seekers in France try to get over to the UK by boarding trucks as stowaways as they approach the Channel Tunnel, which connects the two countries. And we're joined for more on the story out of Washington by Mrs. Pam Bailey of the Euromed Human Rights Monitor. Hello, Mrs. Bailey, and thanks for joining us here on Press TV's Top 5. Now, ma'am, many of the countries which have been directly responsible for creating the current refugee crisis are the very same countries that are turning their backs on people that they have helped displace. Now, where's the accountability that many people in the world would like to see here?
Well, there isn't accountability. That's the answer. What we have is a broken international system of self-policing, the United Nations, and that, I think, will be the top priority for Antonio Guterres, who's been chosen now as the new Secretary General. It's a very tough task, but what to do about refugees and what's being done to cause them should be the top priority of the UN, and it's not working.
And, you know, the UK has accepted one of the smallest numbers of refugees that have poured into Europe over the past year. And this exact issue was what many believe the determining factor of that Brexit leave camp, how they won that vote. Yet London claims to be a champion of human rights and welfare throughout the world. Your take on that, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's none of the countries, well, I shouldn't say none of them, most of the countries don't want to shoulder the burden. And what they're not doing is what you just said earlier. They're not connecting the dots. Here we are. Funding the forces that are fighting in Yemen, funding the forces that are fighting in Syria, and of course, the result of that is refugees. And in fact, I would say that before any international government, or any regional body commits funds or boots in the ground, et cetera, that they should automatically put aside a certain amount of money to care for the humanitarian crisis that will result and commit to a certain number of refugees. Maybe that's the answer, because it's not working now.
So what would you recommend as a solution to this? Because there is a really large number of refugees pouring into Europe. How could Europe best deal with this issue and still somehow appease its residents?
Well, I mean, as far as the residents go, there just needs to be a massive public education program. And as far as I can see, that really hasn't happened. There is support that's not being publicized. There's a lot of data that shows that actually immigration, refugees, et cetera, that actually helps more than hurts. There just has to be there has to be leadership from the top, very calm, not giving in to the hard right elements, and, you know, demonstrating that this is how most, you know, this is what enriches the countries. A lot of the European countries, for instance, are aging. You know, that's their biggest problem. And in fact, here in the United States, we've found that the small towns that are growing and are doing well economically are the ones with immigrants. And this is what they have to understand.
And there has been a lot of propaganda that's attached militancy to a lot of these refugees, which reports have shown isn't the case. They're not accurate assessments at all.
No, absolutely not. In fact, you know, maybe that's part of the answer, actually, is there's not been any kind of massive public education program done on cross-national grounds pointing out the fact that it's massively positive. And that the few instances of refugees and immigrants being terrorists, you know, you could probably count, it'd be minuscule. So that's, I think, perhaps what we really need. And maybe that's what the new UN general could do, is really provide some brave, vocal leadership, reaching out to the public, you know, even past governments that I think are really incapable of dealing with their own internal tension, is to speak directly to the people and spotlight these examples.
Thank you much for your contribution, Mrs. Bailey. That's Mrs. Pam Bailey of the EuroMed Human Rights Monitor joining us out of Washington.